Column 2. Who are you blaming? For each of your issues, it's now time to determine who you're blaming for their existence. Who are you holding hostage in your mind? From whom are you withholding forgiveness? Write their name or names in this column. It's quite possible and common for your response here to be myself. The power of forgiveness. Think of letting your hostages go as a mental cleanse before you start building your new life. There's so much talk in the natural health world about ways to cleanse our bodies, but so little about how to cleanse our minds. The most powerful mechanism for mental cleansing is forgiveness. Here's how to do it. Recognize that most people are just confused children, or at least we can be when we're emotional. Our bodies have gotten bigger and older looking, but our minds have no such built-in maturity program. In all likelihood, we never got the expert training we all could have used in conflict resolution, nonviolent communication, navigating the socialization process, and developing our emotional intelligence. We're still looking to get our needs met, still wanting everyone's approval, still perhaps wanting to cause hurt when we get hurt. So when we're upset, we're often operating from a perspective that's not much different than it was when we were 6 years old. In the process of stumbling through life, we often cause pain for others. If you've been on the receiving end, it may be worth considering that the perpetrators of the hurt were acting out of confusion, not really understanding that they could get their needs met without hurting someone else, not really understanding the impact of their actions, not really conscious of the love that's always available to them, and not really understanding the nature of their connectedness to you. This may not make their actions okay for you, but hopefully it makes forgiveness an option. Consider the possibility that lifelong punishment may be unreasonable. If it's your intention to withhold forgiveness of someone, possibly yourself, for the rest of your life, maybe this qualifies as cruel and unusual. It's a uniquely human thing to hold a grudge and never let it go. Ask yourself, how long will I hold on to this before it will be enough? Or, how much longer am I going to pollute myself with this? Then experience your reaction to this question. Feel it. Accept it. Let it move through you. And be done with it. View forgiveness as something we do for ourselves as much as for the other person. When you withhold forgiveness of others, you basically take on the job of administering an ongoing punishment. So you're playing warden in the mental prison that you're keeping them in, and it demands energy and mental bandwidth. Do you really want to give your energy and peace of mind away to the very person you believe wronged you? Does corrupting your peace and restricting your inner freedom make the situation better in any way? Resentment is an emotional poison in your system, even if you don't want to do anything nice for the person you've been resenting. For your own sake, you need to get that poison out. The nice part is that it will bring you immediate relief. You get to quit that warden job and detox from the poison in the same act. See forgiveness not as a single act, but as an ongoing commitment. Often it may not be possible for you to just pronounce someone forgiven and have that be the end of it. As we said, strong feelings cut deep grooves. It's easy to fall back into them. Instead, you might need to make a commitment with yourself that from now on, you're going to recognize any time you've begun harboring resentment toward them again. And every time you notice that you've picked it back up, you're going to let it go again. You're not going to analyze why you picked it up again. You're not going to scold yourself for having picked it up again. You're not going to indulge in the resentment again. You're just going to drop it and forgive them again, as efficiently as possible. And you'll immediately feel lighter. Soon the habit of dropping it will begin to replace the habit of holding on to it. If you feel so emotional that forgiveness seems impossible, choose anger over despair. As soon as you have enough distance from the situation to wonder, What do I do with this intense emotion I'm carrying around? Remember that anger can be more easily transformed into action and determination than hurt and sadness can. So if you're stuck, find the part of you that's angry about whatever happened. This adversarial part of you insists to yourself, and probably to others, that someone did something wrong, that something shouldn't have happened that did happen, and simultaneously, that you and your current perspective on the matter are right about this. Perhaps you build your case in the shower and while driving. The thing is, when you're stuck in needing to be right, you block your progress in life. You diminish your perspective by hanging on to this. You keep yourself from seeing the big picture of what will most efficiently get you to a life of happiness and fulfillment. When you're harboring a grievance against someone or something, you can hang out in this mental place of he or she or this was wrong forever. But if this is your way of pushing back against something that someone did to you, in a way, they're still sticking it to you as long as you live in this mindset. As long as you continue to cripple your own life and happiness for this mental argument, they're still hurting you. As long as you replay these conversations and events, you reopen your own wound. The river of life continues to flow, but you're clinging to a rock called, "This wasn't supposed to happen." The silly part is that you're probably not really stuck in a fight. Chances are, this is a one-sided war that's happening entirely in your mind, where it's only you who continues to get punished. You who pretends that there's value in carrying on with it, sorting it out, perpetuating a fight that the other party isn't even present for. It's you who's corrupting your own happiness and potential, corrupting the quality of presence you have with others, and investing energy into something that will never give you back anything. If the best you can muster is anger and the desire to cause hurt, then the ideal way to stick it to the other person would be to not let them have any more of your soul than you've already given. Instead, pull back all the energy you're spilling on them. If you can't manage to shake the anger, if you find yourself wanting to cause hurt, try to approach it from the angle of self-preservation. Forgive them so that they no longer have their hooks in you. Divest completely. Forgive completely so that they don't get the tiniest bit of your consciousness anymore. Eventually, the need to withdraw your energy will be replaced with a feeling of neutrality. Remember, the person who needs the most forgiveness is you. If you're like nearly all other humans, to some degree you blame yourself for everything about your life that isn't the way you think it should be. You may not be aware of it, and you may also be blaming someone else, but chances are, when things aren't perfect, your mind has an explanation that amounts to, "There's something wrong with me." Or perhaps, more specifically, "My body is wrong. My mind is wrong. I'm making the wrong choices. I messed up my life," and so on. The focus of this self-blame is so broad that we believe it's simply an inevitable product of the way children are raised. The emphasis during our early years is to learn, and the goal of every lesson is to be right. You got approval when you ate all your food or named the correct color. You did it right. And you got disapproval when you drew on the wall. You did it wrong. And since most of this positive and negative feedback came from your caregivers, the people responsible for your very survival, you made being right one of your highest priorities. You became an expert at being, or at least appearing, right. And two important secondary behaviors developed from this training. First, you taught your subconscious to habitually identify wrong things, because it's at least as important to know and avoid being wrong as it is to be right. And second, you learn to internally preside over the judgment of your own behavior. By policing yourself, scolding yourself, and withholding approval from yourself, you could get better at presenting only rightness to the world. Our self-criticism is such a constant thing that many of us barely even notice it. Even in psychologically healthy folks, it's likely that there are still dozens of thoughts each day that go something like, "I'm not working fast enough. I should be thinner. I shouldn't have said that. I should have done that differently." I'm so bad at making money. I haven't done anything impressive compared to other people. And more. Self-blame thoughts like these make us less happy, and they cause us to withhold self-approval, even if the thoughts aren't actually that bad, even if we think, "But it's true." Self-limiting beliefs are like sandbags weighing down your hot air balloon, and when you forgive, it's like cutting the strings. When you start forgiving habitually, not only do you begin to experience a lightness and freedom that for many of us has been absent for decades, but you also begin to recognize just how powerful you are.